From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Welcome back. What is this, Thursday already?
Yeah.
Jeez, what am I doing? Am I that tired, Laura? Am I really that sleepy that I say welcome back? God, I'm so
corny. Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back to your own personal hell.
Wow.
Groundhog's Day every single day for
you. I got you, babe.
Welcome back to everyone who's been waiting for this since we went off air on Wednesday.
Yes, perfect. UW students protesting in solidarity with Gaza demand the university cut ties with Israel. That's going to happen for sure. Seattle I-5 protest defendants are challenging social media use for suspect identification. You probably shouldn't have put your pictures of you protesting on social media. That was probably your mistake that you made there. I did want to start, though, with the former Bothell. Did you read about this? Man, this is the first thing I read about when I woke up this morning.
God, what a horrible way to start your day.
I know. Maybe that's why I'm such in a good mood right now.
I did read about this, gentlemen. Wow.
Yeah, so he was arrested Tuesday afternoon after a 20-year-old woman was found dead inside of a South Seattle home. What I find weird about this, right, I mean, this is James McNeil, is that they say that he had, quote-unquote, self-inflicted stab wounds.
That
seems like a little bit of a little bit of a lead there.
Cover-up, kind of? I'm speculating,
but,
of course.
The police saying that is kind of biasing. You understand?
They're self-inflicted?
Yeah. Because
okay.
If later on there's a case or there's a trial about this,
yeah. And
then the police statement is that it seems to be self-inflicted, that's biasing a jury. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. You're right.
So a 20-year-old woman was found in the home that they were in. What it sounds like to me, not to be super dark, but I've watched a lot of true TV, so
okay.
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm basically an expert. My assumption is that this was potentially a lady of the night, potentially a lady for hire would be my assessment.
Okay.
Because she said that she was his girlfriend.
His girlfriend has been, neighbors reported, yeah.
But this is my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend, that's what ladies of the night like to say. And so the age difference there is a little weird. My assumption here is that, and again, this is just my assumption.
Okay.
Is that there was some kind of a game that they were playing. While there was a little bit of the old, so on and so forth.
I thought the exact same thing. The nature of the injuries. Yeah.
Went a little bit too far with the old stabby, stabby, chokey, chokey. And now all of a sudden we've got this circumstance, which just goes to show that marriage is a very important attribute for men. And that being in a committed relationship is good for men of all ages, and that it results in healthy relationships and healthy bedroom habits, and we can all celebrate that. Right, Nicholas? Yeah?
I love that you're looking past the body outline for the silver lining in the story.
Well,
I'm proud of you.
Well, I mean, when I read this, like, let's just read between the lines, right? It's in a home. He's 56. She's 20 years old. Now, he did not win re-election, so his last day in office was about 5 months ago.
Right, for turn of the year. Yeah.
I'm just putting together the pieces, right? Let's do a little bit of the old analysis here.
Mm-hmm.
You got 5 months of free time. You got a sweet government pension.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with all that money? What are you going to do with all that time? Lots of free time for a man of that age is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's really weird that his lawyer is the one who called 911.
Yeah,
right, from outside the house. I think there's been a homicide, and then when they found the victim, 24 hours, they figured out through rigor mortis that they'd been deceased for 24 hours in his bed.
Yes,
with nothing on but choke marks.
This is what I'm saying.
This is weird.
I put it all together, I've watched enough true TV that I think that maybe things got a little out of hand. He calls his lawyer. Lawyer calls the police because he doesn't want to be involved in a crime.
Sure. No, he does
That's my, and I would also assume that there was likely drugs involved. But that's just my assumption with the whole thing, and we'll have to find out as more information comes out. He's currently in the hospital. So, UW students protesting. Students is a new word that I just made up.
I like this.
Protesting in solidarity with Gaza demand the university cut ties with Israel and Boeing. The president of the United States actually made a statement earlier today. Did you see his statement? Did you read it?
I thought it was pretty even keeled, safe to say, right down the middle of the fairway. And they got him before 10 a.m., so
right.
He sounds great.
Very good.
Right?
I just think, so he said basically what anybody would want to say, that freedom of speech is very important,
mm-hmm.
and then he also said, but violent speech is not protected speech. It's all very boring. It's all very nice. The thing that I thought was interesting was a reporter asked a question. Did you see this?
He heard the truncated statement.
Does the protest change the way that you feel about that region in the world,
or
are you reevaluating your strategy in that region of the world? And the president said, No, because the largest lobby in D.C. is the D.C. for, or is the lobby party for Israel, right? I mean, like, you cannot get elected in the United States. It's very difficult to get elected in the United States without the support or backing of that lobby, and they don't discriminate. Democrats, Republicans,
nope.
If you don't get behind that lobbying firm, you likely will not get elected in the United States. And I think it's important to talk. That's not a myth, by the way. That's not just a white supremacist talking point. It's a very, very large lobbying force. And so you have to ask yourself that question. When with the United States and their relationship to Israel, are we not funding kind of a form of eternal warfare in that neck of the woods? And are we not, in some cases, being pressured to do so by a lobbying group in the same way that we're pressured by the corn industry or the vaccine industry?
Yeah,
are we not being pressured in so many ways?
If you're chasing votes, I think you're spot on.
That's just what I'm saying,
yeah,
my friend.
Yeah, you're spot on.
And so when people say, oh, you can't talk about this, or why aren't we allowed to talk about it, it's not that we can't talk about it. It's because when other people say it, it's because they're anti-Semites and they hate Jews. But when I say it, it's a legitimate question, which is, are we not funding kind of eternal war and conflict through Israel? Now, personally, I would say no. That's my personal opinion about it. But you have to ask yourself this question. Do these leftists on these campuses, when they see what goes on with Israel and the amount of money that they get, and they are in favor of universal health care for, you know, people in the United States, mm-hmm. or they're in favor of broader worker rights for people in the United States or more worker protections in the United States, is that not a foundation of an argument that they could make? Why are we giving so much money to a foreign entity which gets so much money from other countries? And why are we basically being controlled, or let us just say complicit, in what they say is a genocide of the Palestinian people? I'm asking people to empathize with leftists right now. I know that might be a bit of a...
You are tired. You do need a...
No.
I'm joking.
Right, but people don't understand. What I'm saying that is in a rhetorical and hypothetical situation. So you have to kind of empathize with what people are saying in order to fully understand. I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but that's easier than just calling them immature or ignorant or whatever it is.
I've heard spoiled, I've heard entitled, all these different...
entitled, all that kind of trash.
You know, on first blush, that question from the reporter, does this change your, or how you're viewing the region and the U.S. support of Israel?
Yeah.
At first blush, seems like a really good question to ask the president, but there's only one answer he could ever possibly give. Your point.
No.
It's not changing.
No.
Of course it's not. And if you say, well, yeah, I'm kind of looking at things different since everybody's acting up on campus, you are just lighting a fire under every protester in America to go do more. You can't say yes to that question.
No, but I'm sure that there are people out there. Like, I think that Americans look at the amount of foreign aid that goes out, and then they look at what their country looks like, and it's deeply infuriating, right? Because they're basically using kind of observational data, and they're looking at the potholes outside of their own street, or they're looking at the homeless encampment or whatever it is, and they're looking at borrowed federal dollars, which contribute to our overall debt, going to the maintenance of countries that they will likely never see and can barely pronounce. And that, I think, is a legitimate grievance if you don't understand the complexities of geopolitics. It's a legitimate frustration to have if you don't necessarily understand the neoliberal system that we live in. I would not agree with them, but I would say that I understand why they have that frustration, being that the United States is in a pretty difficult point right now culturally.
Is there anything to the counter-argument that if you don't invest in these foreign countries now, the bill will come due later at a much larger number, with maybe American lives on the table as well?
Regard
to Ukraine, maybe, right? If you don't invest in Central America, then you get the migration avalanche we've seen.
No, you get the migration avalanche because you have Shell and BP and, you know, all these other companies that are in South America who are raping and pillaging those lands and then basically forcing these people into a kind of indebted servitude where then they then have to flee their own country because the economic... You know what I mean? The reason the United States invests in other countries is because it creates a ghost economy. It creates a fictional economy. That's why we do it.
Here at home or abroad? The ghost economy here at home?
Here at home.
Okay.
It creates jobs. It creates higher stock prices. I mean, look at the stock market when we have conflict. It goes through the roof, right? Because what the United States basically does is we have all these manufacturing plants for MREs and for weapons and for materiel, whatever it might be.
Right.
Phosphate processing for gunpowder. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. And so you are basically propping up these industries in an inadvertent way by funding global war. And that's really what it comes to. So when people say, well, we have to stop global war, you will gut the United States economy if you do that. We are a nation of manufacturing war. That is the best product that we put out into the world.
Yeah, we like to say we're manufacturing global security. If you could stick to global security.
I mean, that's nice branding.
That's the approved talking points we're going to go with here from the U.S. government.
But I think it's important for people to realize, like, this is not a Democrat thing. This is not a GOP thing. Like, this is the status quo in the United States. This is what we do. The biggest product that the United States makes, the most profitable product that we produce, is war and conflict. We make crazy money doing it. And yet you still have people who, whether it's, you know, far right conservatives or far right leftists, they say, well, we need to stop all this. And you go, okay, great. You're probably going to put somewhere in the neighborhood of about a fifth of Americans out of work if you do that.
They'll all make solar panels. Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll convert them all to green energy.
They'll all be carpenters and HVAC technicians is what they'll do, right?
So we need more of those, by the way.
We don't really take a good hard look, I think, at what America is enough, because we are all bickering and arguing over trans kids or gay marriage or my church doesn't want to marry this gay couple or whatever it might be. We're all so distracted by trivial things like protests on campus or whatever it is that the actual crime that is being committed in front of us, we don't even see it. It's like that social experiment where a guy is juggling and there's a bunch of people dancing around him and they say, keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah.
And then the gorilla walks on the screen and they say, when did the gorilla walk on? And people go, what? That's basically what happens in the United States. And then I try to point it out and people call me a lib or they call me a communist or a socialist or whatever it is. And the fact of the matter is that I'm the smartest person in the room because I'm the only one who sees the monkey. I'm the only one who sees the gorilla while you're all looking at the juggling ball. Look at them trans kids. Oh, Leah Thomas, I'm so mad. Boo, trans people. And then I'm over here being like, hey, you guys, listen, mega corporations are raping and pillaging God's green earth. Like, can't we do something about it? Forget that. Get those trans people out of that bathroom immediately. It's foolishness. Sincere foolishness. Anyway, that was a fun rant. The Seattle I-5 protest defendants challenged social media use for suspect identification. Probably you should not have put it on social media, you fools. Like, what are you doing? The six defendants appeared in court for an arraignment hearing yesterday, and it is a 69-year-old, 29-year-old, 66-year-old, 37-year-old, 35-year-old, 42-year-old. Clearly Antifa, right? Fits the bill, right?
Yeah, that's the hallmark.
Bunch of millennials, a couple of Gen Zers, and then boomers in there. Nothing I like more than that mix up.
And the fact that these people flex on social media, virtue signaling their support while committing a crime, and their lawyers saying you should have no access to our social media posts. You should have arrested them on the spot or done due diligent investigation outside of their personal social media posts. Wrong.
Yeah, wrong. Sorry, wrong. If I punch Nicholas in the face and I film it, Nicholas, no offense, we're very good friends. This is a hypothetical.
It would really hurt, I'll say.
It would hurt. But I love you, Nicholas. This is purely for rhetorical purposes and in no way, shape, or form reflective of how I feel about you, because I have been told that joking about people in the building sometimes hurts feelings.
Ooh.
Brian was talking to me. It was, when you make fun of people, they get upset. And I was like, la, 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 la. Sure, Oakley's, I'll listen to you, Brian. But so let's just say I punch Nicholas in the face and I film it and I put it on Instagram. I get 1,000 likes on it, get 1,000 upvotes, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden Nicholas decides to press charges. And then that evidence is on social media. Do I have a good argument to say, well, you should have done your due diligence elsewhere?
Right. No. You confessed through social media.
Yeah.
You video confessed.
Please.
It's not like somebody said, hey, this guy was at the protest. So they go in there on hearsay evidence and you know, grab his computer and find pictures on his home computer of him at the rally. No, this guy put it out into the world.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
carried a flag.
And also, do yourself a favor, I-5 protesters. Don't block traffic because it makes everybody hate you. When you block traffic, I could go up there and I could be trying to save wayward kittens and puppies, right? And I could take 30 of my closest friends and we could be dancing around to who let the dogs out and blocking I-5 northbound. Those people will hate me. Yeah. They will despise me for blocking I-5 North. I don't care what your cause is. Laura, you agree with me on this, right?
Aha!
Uh-oh. We're moving on.
We're moving on, as we've been... The producer is letting us know that it's time for us to wrap it up. Anger has been linked to heart disease, a new study suggests. Why? So the phrase anger kills might have a more literal meaning. This is a trash story, if I can just say this from the Washington.
Whoa.
Everybody knows that when you get mad, your blood pressure goes up.
Okay.
And it causes cardiovascular problems.
Smart people know this. Some people don't know this. Okay. Some people really don't see the connection between you, how you react to something and how it spikes your blood pressure and how that has long-term effects on people.
My grandfather was one of the first human beings ever to receive 6 bypasses in 1985.
Dang, the next one was free, too. You get to 7, man. You fill that bypass punch card up.
He filled it up, and that was it. So
that
was 3 years before I was born, right?
Wow.
And so he's actually in medical textbooks if you look him up. He knew at that point in time that anger was something that was bad for his heart. That was
right.
That was 40 years ago, right?
I understand.
So when you say people don't know, that's stupid, Spike. I'm sorry. People know that anger hurts your heart. It's well known. This has been studied time in and time out.
I overestimated the collective intelligence of the American citizen.
As you often do.
Yep.
We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Crypto bros are back, and they have a dangerous political goal. I'll tell you what it is. It's fascism. Spoiler alert. Crypto bros are mostly fascists, and I'll tell you why when we get back right after this.
The internet can be a dark and often dangerous place. Only one man has the courage to go where no sensible person would go. Jack Stein is terminally online.
Terminally online. Wasting my life on the internet so that you don't have to. Crypto bros. Is it old, kind of dead meme? I thought we were done talking about crypto bros.
I thought when they locked that guy up, things were going to, come back to reason, though.
Sam Bankman,
yeah.
He wasn't a crypto bro, though.
He ran a crypto. See, that's how much I know about crypto.
Right. So crypto coins is, to put a very, explain it like I'm 5 years old. Basically, it works
Thank
like
you.
This. There are lines of code out there which cannot be replicated or duplicated, and they put it into what is called a coin. And so you can have fractions of that line of code, which is a fraction of a coin. And it is assigned value because it cannot be replicated. In the same way that there's a limited supply of gold in the United States world.
No, thank you. I finally understand this thing.
Limited supply of this code chain, which is also referred to as the blockchain. That is as simple as I can put it for people. And there's this piece that came out from Slate basically talking about what crypto bros are trying to do. Now, they already have tried to change regulation in the United States across a series of industries, because most crypto bros or people who invest in crypto tend to have more libertarian leanings.
Okay.
They tend to be very anti-big bank, anti-Fed, and so that's why they put their money in crypto.
Right. That's why it's an alternative to these guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So they are basically putting their money behind candidates who are against banking regulation. Does that make sense? Because they hate regulation so much that they are actually now funding campaigns of people who will come out in favor of removing banking regulation.
On just crypto or banking regulations in
general?
In general. Oh,
right.
That never ends
well.
So
we're talking about getting rid of the old Dodd-Frank. We're talking about getting rid of the whole bundle, right? Because the easiest way to make money in these kinds of circles is to steal other people's money in a grift.
Yeah,
right?
Rip off other people.
So, the problem that I think that people don't realize about money that circulates in the United States is that if I'm running a – let's say I'm Katie Porter out of California, and I'm running against a bunch of industry bigwigs like Adam Schiff, and I really want to beat him because he's an industry shill. If the crypto-backed super PAC Fairshake gives $10 million to run anti-Katie Porter ads, that's a lot. Right?
Yeah, that's the difference.
Yep. And so this is where this is coming in, where people's perception of a candidate is being shifted based on people that basically want to rip them off, and they buy into it.
It's like there's a crypto pack?
Many.
Really? That are just focused on deregulation and supporting candidates who will vote to serve their interests?
That's kind of
everything everywhere with PACs, though, too, right? Everybody supports a candidate to get something in return.
Sure, but I mean, Americans are like being stolen from and ripped off on such a regular basis. And it's sad to me that there are people out there who are Democrats or they are Republicans who are trying to ensure that there are protections in place to protect the American consumer. And they are basically being shunned by people who are saying regulation is bad. That's the boot of government on your neck.
Yeah, right? Limits freedom.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, I give an example. The number one reason why people are against universal health care is because they believe that the cost is not commensurate with the services that they will then receive.
Okay.
And they look at a system like in Canada, or they look at a system like the NHS in the UK.
Yeah.
And they say that, see, the system doesn't work, right? It's never going to work. Not really realizing that part of the reason that those systems don't work is, one, you have a relatively small population compared to the United States. But then, two, is the disproportionate amount of people who go out and buy private insurance who don't contribute to the system.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, there's a lot of complexities that go into universal health care. But by and large, most people would be better off paying a certain amount of their income as opposed to going through an insurance, which at this point in time is basically just a scam. I mean, ask anybody that's ever tried to get anything done through
insurance. Company's job is to not pay your bills.
Pretty much.
That's their business model.
And so people would rather bang their head against a wall dealing with private insurance than have a governmental system which is heavily regulated, because they're going to have death panels where they limit care based on money because we're all going broke, as if that would be voted into law, right? So I'm not an advocate for that system, but what I'm saying is you can see how easily people's perceptions can be manipulated based on a couple of buzzwords, and that's what you see with crypto, where people feel as if, man, this is an unregulated industry. Isn't this going to be so great? Not realizing that it's basically a way to launder money and move money around.
Is there any, are they having any success with these candidates? I mean, they got Adam Schiff in the election over Katie Porter.
Look what happened to Katie Porter, right? I mean, and also the other problem is the majority of these crypto bros also just happen to be fascists. So that's another issue altogether.
So, and their goal is to make money that's off the books that they can't have to pay taxes on. And do things in a more shady nature due to lack of regulation, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. I mean, it's basically, I'm going to get mine and forget about you is the general philosophy behind it. Like, we've really been kind of taken over by people who say that if you are, that as an atomized or independent individual, you are better off than being in a collective society where we all take care of each other. Right? Isn't that so sad?
Doesn't that fly in the face of the 200-plus year history of America?
Exactly my point. Like, you will have people who will say with a straight face that Medicare is a Ponzi scheme and a failing program. And then when you ask them, what's the Medicare cutoff? What's the highest amount that you can make before you stop paying the full amount into Medicare? People go, I did it. And you go, it's $160,000.
Right.
How many programs borrow against Medicare? And they go, I did it. And you go, all of them. All we do is borrow against the money in that program. That's the reason why it's insolvent. We can have systems that benefit Americans, and we can tweak systems so that they can benefit Americans. For instance, if Medicare, you turn that into an investment portfolio as opposed to just a stagnant amount of money,
right,
that would be really, really great, right? A government-backed 401k. Wow, that would be amazing. But people don't want to think that because they're so wrapped up in government bad that even to try to tweak or improve upon a system to try to make it better for all Americans, like, for instance, turning your Medicare money into a portfolio, they will reject that for this idea of, well, I'm going to be this little atomized individual, and as long as you leave me alone, just leave us alone in our own
homes. That's the way the farmers did it back when we were a new country.
Exactly, right.
When you talk about privatizing Medicare, or is that what that means, privatizing it?
Partially, yeah.
Does that put it at greater risk? Is that one of the arguments against doing that?
Yeah, it does, but my 401k is backed by BlackRock, and I'll tell you, it's not going anywhere. You know what I'm talking about there? You know what I'm talking about?
I wish your healthcare was.
Andrew, you know what I'm talking about, right? Getting your 401k back by big old BlackRock. That's steady.
Oh, yeah, that's the best.
Solid, baby.
Right. That's like when Uncle Joey, he's got the shakes real bad, and then he takes a hit off of Jim Beam, and all of a sudden it clears
steady,
it right up.
Steady as she goes.
That's like having your 401k backed by a gigantic hedge fund that doesn't care about human beings.
Wow.
It's amazing, right? But that's what I'm talking about, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's what is that we have this I'm going to get mine mentality and forget about everybody else. And the second that you start pointing it out and you say, I think we have the capacity, is elevated human beings to care for each other, people go, it's really yeah. really sad. It's really quite very sad. You know, I was going to take a certain portion of the money that I make here, and I had asked if I could take that money and give it to another employee, right? Because I just thought, I don't need that money, right?
That's
I
sweet
was,
of you.
I was laughed at when I said that.
Someone, so I shouldn't count on getting it then. No.
I was going to take my contract increase for next year, and I said, give it to this employee. They need it more than I do. And I got
hardworking. They deserve it. The company doesn't have the budget for the increase.
I got laughed. I got laughed in my face. Why would you want to do that? You can just hand them that money if you want to do that.
Did you watch their reptilian eyes shut in a different direction as
I
they
did.
Laughed at you?
It was like that scene from Men in Black.
Yes, where the
eyelids close in the wrong direction, like a cat's eyelids. It was basically like an alligator's eyelids.
Yeah.
It's basically like that.
That's management for you.
What I'm saying is that mentality, right, is so pervasive that the idea that you want to try to help somebody else laughed at.
Yeah.
Unfortunate in many cases, but just the system that we live in.
You want to talk about the Ozempic? That's what
Laura
the producer's choice.
This.
Yeah.
Jeez, Laura.
And I think when I pick it, that means we have to talk
we
about it.
We have to do
right?
it.
So Isn't that how this works?
We have a new segment. It's called Producer's Choice, where we have no say in the story.
Hey.
Laura picks it, and we have to talk about it. And Laura wants us to talk about how even celebrities don't know how to ask their friends about Ozempic. Ozempic.
Which blame the producer.
I am blaming the producer, Andrew. Have they bought into the Ozempic?
Yeah.
Are they doing that now?
Oh, yeah. That jingle's massive.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember when Oreos was doing that, and all those people got fat, and now they're doing it with Ozempic. It's like a cruel joke, right?
Yeah, you bet.
All right, we'll talk about it when we get back right after this. Producer's choice. Laura picks the story. We have no control over it because Laura is a sociopath and she wants us to talk about Ozempic.
Producer's choice.
We have a sounder that's being made for this
the
segment, but Justin is sick, whatever that means. More like he's a little sick.
I hear you.
Where is Justin today? I need to yell at him. Where is he?
I don't know. Are we hiding in his beard?
Okay, excellent answer. Melissa,
so is it trying to make this sounder that made him ill?
Probably. Melissa McCarthy responds to Barbara Streisand asking her about using Ozempic. So Melissa McCarthy built a career off of being fat and not very talented, and she has recently lost a lot of weight,
and everyone
is talking about how did you lose so much weight. Clearly, she said, well, I did it through hard work and through dedication and through, you know, a very particular diet where I was cutting out heavy carbs like rices and breads. And I was eating a lot of healthy fats like eggs, and I was exercising more and avoiding seed oils, which is the number one contributor to obesity in the United States. Yeah. Clearly, she said all that stuff.
Solid plan.
Right, Laura? That's what she said. Or did she... Wait, hold on. I'm getting a note here from my earpiece that's clearly visible for everyone to see. Looks like she actually cheated by using Ozempic, which is not exactly the best way to lose weight, right?
Well, I think the problem started when Barbara Streisand, who is a fan and a friend, tried to compliment her on social media saying, you look great. Did you use Ozempic? And the, of course, fan base went bananas. How dare you?
But she is ask, using using Ozempic, though.
They didn't care. Just like Barbara outed her on social media. Did you use Ozempic? And the fans went sideways.
Okay.
And so Melissa McCarthy said, Barbara Streisand knows I'm alive. I win.
Okay, but she's taking Ozempic, though. That's all I care about.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I mean, Laura, you know more about celebrity culture than I do.
I don't know if she's taking Ozempic.
Okay, well, I retract my previous statement. I'm almost positive she's on Ozempic then.
Well, you said it would be unsafe if she were.
I would say that as a statement of opinion, not fact, for legal reasons.
Gotcha.
But when I think about this, when I think about people's obsession with losing weight or fixation on weight, I think it's very unhealthy because some people are just big people. I don't think it's wrong to have to carry around extra weight on your body. There are actually studies that show that people with less than 10% body fat, people like me, by the way, ladies out there, under 10% body fat, by the way. Yeah, you can see the definition of my abs literally 90% of the time. It's pretty amazing. Is actually unhealthy. It's actually healthier to have a certain amount of extra body weight available to you.
I'm glad to hear that.
So that when you get sick, your body has more resources to pull from. You also get much less likely to get dehydrated than someone like myself, who basically is just ripped out of his mind on steroids and is below 10% body fat. So, but our obsession with weight as a society, I think that people should be much more obsessed with health rather than the aesthetics of what they believe a healthy body looks like. Laura?
I'm not convinced that someone's, like, changing weight means that they're healthier, right? Like,
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
So if they're losing a lot of weight rapidly, I don't think that that necessarily means that.
Well, I'm a fan of Melissa McCarthy. I know you're not.
I kind of wanted to hear what Laura was going to say.
I thought you were done. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, no. Oh, Melissa McCarthy was excellent in Spy. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible movie.
That is actually a very good movie.
Bigger version of herself then, too, by the way.
Right. So, but I think that Laura is right when you say that when you look at somebody with dramatic weight loss, oftentimes that is not healthy for the body. I mean, you can look at it basically in either direction. When people lose too much weight too fast, it can be very hard on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you lose, or you try to start gaining weight rapidly, like Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
It's very hard on the heart. So, interesting to see how Americans are grappling with this new Ozempic craze.
How do we ask each other these questions? Should we? Right. Is it none of you? There was a quote in this article that said it's fair to want. It's not something you should have to hide if you're taking a weight loss drug, but it's also not anyone's business.
True.
I feel like that's kind of where I'm landing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well. You could always have a relationship with your abusive mom like how I do, where every time I see my mom, even though she's grossly overweight, she always tells me that I look fat, which gives me a complex.
Oh,
moms are great for being mean about your weight.
What is it?
Face.
Can we get some answers for this? 888-973-5476 for all the moms out there. Do you comment on your child's weight? Because every time I'm going to see my mom in like 10 days.
Okay.
I guarantee you, I'll put good money on it. Within the first 120 seconds, Mama J is going to say something about my weight. Even though you can literally see my intestines through my abs, she will say something about me being too fat.
That too fat?
Yeah.
She's not going to say, you need to eat something.
Nope.
Let me cook for you.
She's fat. That's what she says to me. She makes the sign like I'm a big water balloon. She says, fat.
She says, six abs? How about eight?
Yeah, exactly. She goes, geez, Porky. You think you get another two on that bad boy? I see some guys online. They got 10 of those things. Are you even trying? We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Oh, man, this is the old show sheet that I have pulled up. We are actually going to be talking about the Washington Police Academy facing a second slew of sexual harassment lawsuits. Appeals court is rejecting a climate change lawsuit by Oregon activists. I knew this was going to happen. And the Republican legislative staff is the first to go full leftist here in Washington State. This is such a great story. It's so funny. We're going to start with this one when we get back right after this.